Hello, and welcome to School Food for Thought, the School Nutrition Association's podcast. I'm Danielle Duran-Barron, SNA Vice President for Marketing Communications and Industry Relations, and this season of our podcast is sponsored by General Mills. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or just starting out on your journey in this field, you've come to the right place. School Food for Thought will keep you connected to the wonderful community of school nutrition. Our goal is to provide you with valuable insights, inspiration, and the latest industry updates to help you thrive in your role. Join us as we dive deep into the challenges and triumphs, the innovations and best practices, and the heart and soul of school nutrition. Each episode will bring engaging and dynamic conversations with school nutrition leaders. We hope that you join us as we explore the fascinating and ever-evolving world of school nutrition. You can subscribe to School Food for Thought wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, everyone. This is Danielle Duran-Barron. I'm the VP for Marketing Communications and Industry Relations at SNA. And today I have SNA President Chris DiRico and Stephanie Giannini, and we're going to talk about the future of school nutrition programs. So let's get right into it. So when we start talking about it before the interview, Chris, you and I figured out that we're going to start with the present. What are the things that you two are seeing now, 3 years in past COVID, how things have changed, where they stand, and where you see things going?
Well, obviously, as we continue to navigate being post-COVID, I think we're still seeing what direction we are headed exactly because of some challenges we're still facing. Some of those challenges including financial challenges as prices continue to increase. We're unsure of our reimbursement for the school year that's coming forth. And additionally, we're still a little unsure about the food supply chain issue. Obviously, things have improved, but some people talk about getting back to normal. I think we're headed to a new normal, and we're going to try to figure out what that new normal is. I think we've been limited on some of the food offerings we've had since COVID, and I think you see a lot of directors and programs wanting to get back to making sure we're offering more variety, more choices for students. So the question is, how fast can that happen given all the factors, cost and supply chain challenges and so forth?
Sure. Stephanie, is that something that you're seeing as well?
Yes, most definitely. I really resonated when Chris said a new normal. I always say that if anything, the past 3 years have created a fork in the road in our industry, and it could seem a little scary at times, or that people's programs were completely destroyed and we have to rebuild them. But I try to look at it as an opportunity to reinvent ourselves. I think we have a great opportunity to do so. Many people don't even remember what it used to be like. So having that opportunistic mindset helps at least me to be more positive about the future and kind of go with the flow. And additionally, the past 3 years have allowed us to not get so set in our ways because we know things can change instantly. So with regulation, supply chain, so much happening, I think we're in a better mental space to handle it better and be excited about it, although it can be stressful at times.
Yeah, no, a lot that you said, there's opportunity. So what kinds of opportunities, creative ideas have you seen around you and, you know, your district or somebody else's districts? How has that inspired you?
So I'm definitely seeing a big trend towards local foods, scratch cooking, just a lot of sustainability, which is all good because that's the trends in society today as well. But I think where I'm seeing a lot of new is just there's a lot of new people. And so there's a lot of new idea sharing, which I think is great. And then you still have what I like to call, you know, the school nutrition veterans, which are so important because they give us the history and they give us all the experiences that some of us who are a little bit newer haven't had yet. And so between the knowledge of the experience versus the new, so many innovative ideas are coming through. And I think it's really, as I said, exciting.
Sounds really exciting that you have this dialogue and this exchange of ideas. Chris, is that something that you're seeing as well?
Well, I'll follow up with a couple of things Stephanie said. we do have new people coming to the business and with new ideas that can hopefully drive us in the direction we're headed, working with that historical information from the veterans and so forth. But I'll go back to being maybe the end product of serving breakfast and lunch at school. We got to be student focused. It is about them in the end. So we got to look at what do they want moving forward and what's the best way for us to service them. Stephanie hit on a couple of things. I do think you're going to see hits on fresh fruit and vegetables, specifically local foods. I know produce is something that I think schools have focused on for a long time, but I think you're starting to see us expand to some main entrees of beef and other products from local sources. So I think that is something that you'll see in the future, along with some of that scratch cooking that she mentioned.
Yeah, when you talk about the students of today, they're quite different than the students of yesterday, the 70s, the 80s, and even the 90s. How have their taste buds changed, their expectations, their attitudes towards school food?
I'm going to jump in here and comment on this because I think it goes back to the cell phones that they all carry around. With that in their hip pocket, they're exposed to the world every single day. So I think they've been exposed to a variety of foods at a much earlier age than what I was exposed at and what our parents were exposed at. So when it comes to that school cafeteria, they want to see similar things that they're seeing on that phone and that they've personally experienced with their parents and peers and so forth. So I just think that that cell phone has really changed the world, even school nutrition.
Absolutely. The phone is the big thing. They want to take pictures of their food. It has to look visually appealing. And I've noticed with students today, one, they're very vocal. So they'll give you an honest opinion on what they think of your food, but they also want a say in it. They want to feel like they contributed to the menu, that you listen to them. In my district, we do a young chefs program where we teach middle schoolers to cook, and we do a salad competition. And it blows my mind what they come up with, these salads. And these are like fancy, fancy salads, and they want the design aspect. They're all about the visual. And then they want to take pictures because they're so proud after. And then we tell them one may get added to the menu, and that's all the motivation they need to give their best effort. They want to feel like they had a say in it and that we made menu items specifically for them.
That's amazing. So is that a middle school program? Is that a class? What is it?
It's an after school club. So it actually started with my previous boss, and it's gone so many different ways. We've done sandwich competitions. We've fed parents. We've done cultural, kind of like a cultural fair where students bring menu items. They cook them at school, but that they make at home. And so everyone gets to experience what's popular to them. But they've really just thrived off getting, you know, their hands in there cooking and getting to be creative with the food and express themselves through food.
Wow. Because the kids these days are all about cooking competitions, any competition, right? And they all want to be YouTube stars. So, and I think you hit on a key for me. That is making school fun and food fun. Because these are two things for kids, right? Because to Chris's point, we go to restaurants and they go, and depending on where you live, like these kids are exposed to foods from all over the world just go into their neighborhood, to their friend's house, right? And then at the school, there's this expectation that you'd find some of that.
Well, I think something Stephanie hit upon that goes back to the cell phone and being exposed is they're into taking pictures of their food. And what that's really speaking of volumes about is how important the presentation of that food is, whether that's something that's prepackaged or something that's been packaged in the school kitchen and then presented to the students or whatever. That presentation is key because they see that even in the restaurants they visit and even in convenience stores. You look at the packaging. Sometimes I try to teach my cooks that the packaging part or the presentation part is just as important as the preparation of the food and so forth. So I think that you will continue to see that being a focus, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think, Stephanie, you also talked about young people come into the profession. And where are they coming in? Are they coming in as chefs, cooks, directors? Where are they coming through?
So this is a topic I'm quite passionate about, actually, because I kind of have a fear for the field if we don't get more young people exposed to it. And I was thankfully exposed through an internship in college to it, specific to school nutrition. And so one thing that we've been doing is partnering with a local university. And so we have constant rotations of interns, and it's only 4 weeks. You get a taste of it, but exposing them to this world so they think about it moving forward. And they're dietetic students, I should have mentioned that. And I go over all the different ways you can be involved in school nutrition. I talk about the pros, I talk about the stressors, the challenges, and I tell them the different types of roles, because I explain small districts versus large districts and how bigger districts might have more opportunity than a small district. And telling them, and you may not want to be an operator side, but there's great industry opportunities, or explaining how to get an opportunity and how this field is very relationship based, you know, always network. And it's really surprised me. Some will say, I know I want to do clinical. I know I want to do XYZ or sports nutrition. But I've had some that said, you know, you're actually making me think about school nutrition. I would have never thought about it. And so I think that is something that we continually need to work on, is exposing it to college students, maybe second careers, people are trying to find their way, because most people just don't know it exists.
It's unique you say that, Stephanie, because as an educator, one of my challenges is making sure we're presenting to our students all the career opportunities that are out there. They often see what their parents do, or maybe what their friends' parents do, but you sometimes have to show them career opportunities. So I think it's important that us who are currently working in the field of child nutrition, we expose those opportunities out there for the young folks, because there is a variety of jobs that that's not always out there in the forefront that people could be interested in, fit their long-term lifestyle they want to have. I often talk about being in the education world is often a very family-friendly position, because it usually coincides with their children's schedules, and it's a very friendly family profession. So once again, I think trying to expose those key benefits to the young is very important. So,
and I think there are two things too. One of the things that we hit when we did the campaign, Bring More to the Table, we wanted to show the audience the various facets of school nutrition as a profession. So some people are like, oh, I'll never work in school nutrition because I don't like to cook. But you can do so much more. You know, you can be an accountant. You can be in, you know, quality control, quality assurance. And so I think that's the key that we're missing, because obviously there's lots of room for creativity when you're making food. But to run your programs, and you can speak to that way more than I can, you need so much talent in so many different areas. People are in IT, people are in HR, and most of us don't know anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking on those benefits, that family friendly, I talk about, you, if you want leadership opportunity, this is the field to get into and get into association work. And you will get to work side by side by people who are very experienced, knowledgeable people who want to share their information with you. And one of the biggest things I push about this field that I think is very unique, one is the emphasis on professional development. I think it's fantastic. And then two is that we're not in competition with each other. And that's very unique to many of the industries my friends are in outside of it. And so I tell them, when someone has a great idea or they discover a great opportunity, they want to share it with you. So you gain so much knowledge and skill through this field, where maybe other fields, people gatekeep things a little bit because you might come for their job, or that their business is in competition with your business, where in this field, everyone tries to help each other. We're so relationship-based, and you really create relationships and friendships that will last you throughout your career, no matter if you stay in school nutrition or not. And that is one thing I emphasize to my interns, because it's very unique to this field, I believe, so far that I've seen.
Yeah. And talk to me a little bit more about the leadership opportunities, because I think a lot of people are curious about that. What was your path like?
So I was very lucky to, when I became an assistant director, I was hired on by Sandy Voss. Many people know her. And she was just such a mentor to me. I mean, she pushed me into everything. She said, okay, like, you know, go fly, go swim, like you're going to learn. And she said, you should do this, join the association, join a committee, work up here. And she really, when I say mentored me, she taught me her ways, but then also let me be me. And that was huge. She would say, this is what I would do, but knowing you and how you are, you may want to tweak this, or you may not like that. Or I love working in this area, but you definitely like more this, and this is how you could get more experience in this way. And so I think I had only been working for a couple months when I got pushed into our state association work in the committee, and I've been working on it ever since. And I love it. And she pushed me to start public speaking, and then she pushed me to get my master's in organizational leadership. And just that's that mentorship that I think is so, so important. And what I love about this field is that people want to help newcomers. They want to grow you. And I just, as I said, I feel like I've harped on this a lot now, but it's very unique in the sense of people want to see you grow and they celebrate you. They're not trying to bring you down or feel threatened by you.
I think you make a very good point that this is a very family-oriented profession, and where we do want to help each other, provide the guidance to that young people may need, or even a veteran on a new topic, a new idea. And I think a lot of people try to steal ideas in the right way and then tweak it to their needs, because every district's different. Every situation's a little bit unique, so we all need to take ideas from others and then tweak it that best meets, once again, the students' needs.
Yeah, and I think one other thing about school nutrition that's very interesting is the different entry points for people. So Stephanie came through dietetics and an internship. You had a different path. Right, Chris?
That is correct. I'm an educator by my training, and I really do look at it, child nutrition, as a key part of the education process. As I have said many times, that if the student's hungry, he or she is not going to be able to learn. They're not going to be concentrating on that math and English if they're worried about when they're eating again. So once again, I think sometimes the folks that work in child nutrition don't get the credit they deserve. I think the subject of breakfast and the subject of lunch is just as important as math and English and so forth. So, and once again, we go back to the job opportunities. Most people know there's cooks. They know there's a director in the district, and that may be their limited knowledge. And it depends upon how the district operates. You know, there's a lot of other positions, whether it be someone taking care of the accounting process. There may be people working behind the scenes on the ordering process and inventory. We have warehouse managers in my district. So there's a variety of positions, I think, that sometimes is a little hidden secret that we could do a little better job promoting.
Sure, sure. And this is going to be my last question to both of you. Since the theme of this episode is the future of school nutrition programs, I'm giving you a magic wand. And you have it. And you can make your wish. Like, what would you like to see the school nutrition program of the future? What would that look like for you? What would that feel like?
For me, I wish every department and kitchen had just amazing kitchens. I think it would make all the difference. Equipment really does. I think we focus so on, oh, we can't find staff and we need to get products because we don't have staff, and products that are easy to get in and out. But I feel like if we had this, you know, if everyone had high-end equipment and we could produce these beautiful entrees, we can produce more scratch cooking. There is so much the field could be if people had the facilities to do so. People want to learn, then we could create more culinary, you know, true chef positions. It's just full circle to me. Like, there's so much we could do with the scratch local foods. I think yeah, for me, the wand would be everyone would have these beautiful facilities with this beautiful equipment, and then they can make their program whatever they wanted it to be.
They can make magic. That's
absolutely
great. That's wonderful. Great idea. What about you, Chris?
Well, I definitely see school kitchens, and maybe the cafeteria is getting more creative in their presentation, because once again, I think that's a key thing for students. But I also think you'll still see, as we move forward, 5 years, 10 years, you're going to see a lot more technology involved. whether that is a better organization of recipes electronically and so forth, maybe even more training modules for individual schools and so forth through our digital age and so forth. I don't know if we'll be getting to automation of food preparations that fast, because I still think we need that smiling face handing that food or the tray or whatever to the student at the end of the day. But I do think you'll see a lot more technology being involved in our processes and so forth. So,
yeah, no, this is great. I want to thank you both for being here. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm sure our listeners will too. So thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of School Food for Thought, the School Nutrition Association podcast. We hope you found the conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed this episode, we invite you to explore the rest of our series, where we delve into more engaging topics and conversations with school nutrition leaders from all over the country. Before we sign off, we'd like to extend our special thank you to our sponsor, General Mills. They play a crucial role in supporting our mission to bring you valuable insights and resources for the school nutrition community. To learn more about General Mills and their commitment to promoting nutritious and delicious meals for students, please listen to the message from our sponsor. Thank you once again for joining us on this exciting journey. Stay tuned, and if you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe to School Food for Thought, wherever you get your podcast.
At General Mills, we understand the unique needs and challenges K-12 food service teams face. We're proud to offer support with recipes, marketing tools, and culinary inspiration. Plus, our portfolio of regulation-ready products are from brands students already know and love. To explore products, resources, and more, head to generalmillscf.com.